Riviera Radio. Business.
Top of the morning to you.
Good morning.
What's your favourite biscuit?
Favourite biscuit? Chocolate hobnob.
Chocolate hobnob?
Oh my God, it's the best biscuit in the world.
Plain chocolate or milk chocolate?
Milk chocolate. Sarah, I don't think they do a plain chocolate version.
Is that on the list,
That's
Sarah?
Not on the list, no.
Are you joking? Is this a list of biscuits? Oh, it's the king of biscuits. Are you kidding?
What's
top of the list?
I do quite like hobnobs, but I'm pretty sure they do a plain chocolate version.
Oh, not for me. What is top of the list?
Well, it's all about your character traits, you see. So,
Yeah,
so you might be party rings. Do you like party rings?
No.
No.
Revolting.
Garibaldi's?
I haven't had them for about 20 years. So,
well, you're sophisticated if you like Garibaldi's.
If you had to have another biscuit apart from a hobnob, what would it be?
Chocolate digestive.
Milk or dark?
Milk.
Predictable. You're so predictable.
Is that what it is?
Well, that's why I like dark chocolate digestive, so I'm predictable as well.
Ugh.
Well, that's why we're in the business of talking about money, because it's just so predictable, isn't it?
It's not that predictable, it has to be said, although equity markets did rise both in Europe and the United States yesterday. Rally in risk assets continues, supported, of course, by dovish policymakers that are providing a flood of liquidity. Investor demand for techies back a little bit yesterday, seeking out some value in their sectors that have not been loved for some time, automakers, utilities. Equities pushed higher despite data showing US companies added fewer jobs than forecast in August as we head towards, of course, the all-important non-farm payroll number on Friday. I think we should acknowledge there's still plenty of risk out there could destabilise sentiment. US election, some signs of polls are tightening a little bit there, so it's going to be an interesting few weeks as we go through the campaign. COVID, of course, very important. Watch those medical numbers. Is a second phase likely to play out? US-China rivalry. A big question over whether companies can really achieve the earnings expectations for 2021. So I don't think it's any time to be complacent. Investors should be looking at protecting their gains and diversifying some of those risks. But markets say powering ahead. Stocks 50 in Europe rose 1.8% yesterday. S&P was up 1.5%. NASDAQ was up 1%. Looks like we're going to add to those gains at the start on the European bourses this morning, where we're currently calling the FTSE up 18 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 84 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 30 points.
Is Barclays in the business of predicting the outcome of the US election or not?
Not really, no. Too close to call would be the measures in place. But listen, the electoral map still looks very difficult for President Trump. You've got domestic issues playing out, of course. You've got concerns around the economy and the managing of COVID. So there's lots for President Trump to overcome, it would appear, at this stage. But, of course, he defied the doubters in 2016. So writing off President Trump can be at your peril.
Well, it's all about the electoral college and not the popular votes in the states, of course, and you know, several key swing states could make the difference. And the spread of the electoral college votes, for example, big states like California and Texas proportionally have much less say than some of the smaller states.
Yeah, it's the ones really to watch out for, the so-called swing states, I suppose. President Trump, remember, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, these are big states that he'll need to win. He won them by less than 1% last time out. He'll need to carry them once again. Some of the traditional states, if you look at Arizona, for example, traditionally Republican-leaning, have still got him in the win column for that state, but it's been moving against them. And, of course, Florida, older population there, particularly impacted by COVID-19, will that impact their voting decisions as well? And of course, this big row over voting and postal ballots. So it's going to be a very interesting process. But if you look at the electoral map, as I say, some big obstacles to overcome if President Trump is to be re-elected.
Well, the big question is, if he loses, will he go quietly as well?
Well, the biggest risk for markets is a contested election. There's no doubt about that. That would certainly be negative for markets. So I think if you were to see President Trump or indeed the Democratic rival Joe Biden win and a conclusive win, then that would be certainly seen as acceptable by markets. The worst outcome, I'd say, is some sort of contested election.
After a weeks-long delay, France is finally to unveil its new economic stimulus programme today. What's in it?
Yeah, providing details of this 100 billion euro stimulus plan that focuses on public investment, subsidies and tax cuts. The plan earmarks 35 billion euros for making Europe's second largest economy more competitive, investment in transport and funds to encourage firms to relocate plants back to France, 30 billion euros for more environmentally friendly energies, 25 billion euros for supporting jobs. Tax cuts in there as well to try and support France's industrial, construction and transport sectors. The plan equates to 4% of GDP, more than any other major European economy as a percentage of GDP. President Macron, of course, is hoping the plan will return the economy to pre-crisis levels of activities by 2022 after suffering or expect to suffer the worst post-war recession this year. The estimate is for the French economy to contract by 11% this year. Remember, this money is on top of the broader 750 billion euro European Recovery Fund.
How do you think France has handled the economic crisis compared with the UK?
Well, listen, I think there have been some major challenges in France, as you've seen in the UK and elsewhere around the world. You've seen some aggressive measures put in place. The locking down of the economy was earlier than we saw in the UK. It was probably a little bit more extensive, and that perhaps has been benefiting France from the longer term repercussions that we've seen in the UK. And they've come through finally with a stimulus package. Obviously, being in Europe and being subject to that means there were other elements to focus on a more broader perspective than simply looking at France. So the stimulus package perhaps taken a little bit longer than anticipated, but it looks like to be in good shape. And perhaps more importantly is the fact that they've committed and drove the European Recovery Fund. The mutualisation of debt is a significant step to the cohesion of the European project. I think without that, there are real question marks about the fragmentation of Europe in the future. France has played a pivotal role in making sure that didn't happen.
And I'm still struggling to sort of come to grips with the reason why so many stores are closing down in the UK, because I was in Bordeaux for a few days weeks ago, and the main shopping street there was absolutely packed with shoppers. And although there were one or two shops showing closing down sales, most of the big stores were still open and doing brisk business.
I think there's been a real change. The reality is there's a lot less workers going to the office, certainly in the UK, than you see elsewhere in Europe. So those big city centres, those big shopping areas that required workers, that benefited from workers, that benefited from tourists, of obviously international tourism, that's been struggling. I think smaller town centres, holiday hotspots have done very well. So it's a mixed picture. But the reality is there was a structural change taking place in terms of the UK retail environment. As you see elsewhere in the world, we're perhaps more progressed down that line. And we see lots of people, of course, moving to an online model. And even those who'd previously refused to adopt online shopping have been forced to do it during the course of the pandemic lockdown and have continued with that. So that means that many retailers have to adapt to the way in which consumers are demanding their products.
It hasn't got a lot to do with the rents as well, though, because a lot of the leading UK businesses, Arcadia for example, several others, have been complaining that they just can't afford the rent anymore.
Yeah, there's been a difficult backdrop for many retailers for a long time in the UK. You've got high rates of rent, you've got high rates of taxation, of course, and alongside that, you've got expensive labour costs. So you throw that all into the mix, and much less footfall. Footfall is still down 30% compared to where we were this time last year, and that means, of course, many retailers, as I say, will have to adapt their models.
Okay, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 1.33 this morning. Euro dollar 1.18. You're going to get €1.12 for your British pound this morning.
That's quite sensible for you today.
Makes a change, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Talk to you tomorrow.
Enjoy your day.
Hank Potts and Barclays.